Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini. At Harvest, we just completed 40 days of prayer, focusing on how God's character shapes our prayers. Today's podcast is a sermon by family pastor Scott Torres, along those same lines, based on John 21:15-19. God is the omniscient restorer.
If you'll open or power on your Bible, open them or power them on to John 21. John 21, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 19. John 21, verses 15 through 19. John writes, but God the Holy Spirit says these inspired words. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I say to you, Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Lord, I pray for special power, for a special task to preach the word. And Lord, it's not my words, they're your words. So I pray in light of that, will you do your work in us, your people? Will you give us ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see? I pray especially, will you, God, still all distractions inside of us and outside of us? We believe in your word, Lord. We believe that there's power in what you say. And so we ask that now we would experience that. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, last week we all celebrated Valentine's Day. Now, if you would, smile at me if you had a good Valentine's Day. Smile. There we go. Oh, I see some grimaces. And it was encouraging, you know, Valentine's Day is a special day. It was encouraging for me. I got to look through some of my social media feeds and I saw many of my own family and loved ones and many of you enjoying the day. It seemed like love was in the air. It was special. I in particular saw a nice picture of Dan and Jennifer Martin eating dinner and I thought, man, that is so special. It was a great picture. Love was in the air. So it was good for all of us. It was good for many of you. And it was especially good, I assume, for businesses. It was reported that Americans were estimated to spend $27 billion on Valentine's Day. That's $27 billion with a B. There is no doubt that we are showing the love for this holiday and how much money we spend. Well, this morning, from our passage, we're going to be talking about loving Jesus and what loving Jesus involves. And in summary, we're going to see that loving Jesus involves understanding and following him. That loving Jesus involves understanding and then following him. Now, this passage is important this morning because in our day and age, we can easily misunderstand what biblical love is and what following Jesus really is. I think culturally we miss this. And I think we're tempted in the church to miss this. Now, as all of you know, that biblical love is not an emotion. Culturally, love is attached to how one feels. It's attached to romance. We see that in the culture, and we saw that in Valentine's Day, but not biblically. Biblically, God is love, according to 1 John 4:8, and love is an action. I think of Jesus' words when he said in John 13, "Love one another as I have loved you." And so this passage this morning is important. It's important because we want to understand what love really is, and we want to understand what following Jesus really is. But it's also important that we've just spent, as a church family, 40 days allowing the character of God to shape how we pray. And prayerfully this morning, I'm hoping that it is a continuation of what we went through for 40 days as we prayed the character of God. And I hope that at the end, as we come to a close this morning, we're going to continue in that likeness to pray some of the attributes of God together as a church family. So this morning's passage is very important. It's very relevant for us. So let's look at how loving Jesus involves understanding and following him. So if you're taking notes, the first thing that we see that loving Jesus involves is it involves understanding who he is. It involves understanding who he is. Now, Jesus makes his third resurrection appearance to his disciples here in John 21. Peter and six other disciples, they decide to go fishing one morning or one evening. And it's highly probable that Peter and the others, at some point along the way, decide, hey, you know what? We had followed Jesus for roughly 3 years, and he's not around like he used to, and maybe we're going to go back to our old vocations. And so it's possible that that's kind of the context here. And we see also that Peter is the influencer. As Peter goes, so goes the other disciples. And so on this occasion, they end up fishing all night, and they come to the morning. They catch nothing at night. And then all of a sudden they hear this voice from the shore early in the morning. And that voice is Jesus' voice. And he says to them, hey, cast your net on the right side. And so they follow his advice. And when they follow his advice, next thing you know, 153 large fish wind up in the net. Well, after this, they're blown away. Peter jumps out of the boat and he makes his way to shore. John says, hey, it's the Lord. Jesus wants to see, is it the Lord? Or Paul or Peter wants to see if it's the Lord. So he makes his way up, and the rest of the guys make their way up, and then they find that Jesus is cooking them breakfast. They're enjoying breakfast there on the Sea of Galilee. And the breakfast conversation is pretty interesting, because it seems to be centered around love. And when you read these verses, it's interesting because you see this word used in our passage today 7 different times. Jesus uses it 3 times here when he asks Peter the question. And then Peter responds 3 different times when he responds to Jesus, and then John the writer uses it once. So we see it 7 different times, so it's important. It seems like it's the word love is kind of leading our passage. Now, in the original, there are 2 different words that are used interchangeably, and there has been a whole lot of debate throughout the years on this. When asking Peter if he loves him, Jesus uses this word in the original, it's the Greek word agape, which can mean, depending on the context, a godlike love. And then Peter uses the word phileo, which can mean a human-like word. He uses it 3 times. And so commentators over the years have said, you know, maybe when Jesus uses this word, it's kind of like a next level love. It's a God type of love that's kind of Jesus is saying, and he's calling Peter to, or he's maybe showing Peter that, hey, you don't love me like you think you love me. Well, I think rather than emphasizing on the type of love that's expressed in these two words, I think that they would probably be best understood to be synonyms. Because when you read through the book of John, John uses these same two words in the original three other different times, and he uses them interchangeably. And so when you get here to chapter 21, I think that's what's going on. And so the point that I think Jesus is wanting to convey here is not a deeper kind of love, because the three questions help Peter remember his three denials of Jesus. He's grieved in verse 17 when forced to remember his failing in front of the one whom he had denied. But overall, I think ultimately, Jesus is wanting Peter to know when it comes to this, that following Jesus equates to loving Jesus. Following Jesus equates to loving Jesus, and that if you love him, you must follow him. Peter boasted that he loved Jesus, but when it came down to it, he denied Jesus in John 18. Jesus is making sure here that Peter is absolutely clear that what he demands is supreme loyalty, and that loving him means following him. But loving him also means understanding, or it entails understanding who Jesus is. Earlier in the chapter and throughout the book of John, Jesus reveals himself as Lord over nature. We see this in chapter 21 where he says, cast the nets to the right, and next thing you know, nature listens and 153 fish jump into this net or go into this net. He shows himself as Lord over nature. But now in this conversation with Peter, he is showing Peter, and he is showing us that he is omniscient, that Jesus is omniscient. Now, the word omniscient means all-knowing. And in John's gospel, I counted that there were 19 different times where Jesus shows his omniscience or his supernatural knowledge. For example, in John 1:48, it said, Jesus was kind of calling the disciples at the time. And Nathanael says to Jesus in verse 48, he says, how do you know me? And Jesus answered, he said, I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. And what was interesting about this was that it was Philip who found Nathanael and brought him to Jesus. Jesus wasn't the initial contact, but because Jesus is omniscient, Jesus knew who Nathanael was. And then in John 2:19, Jesus responds to the people who, after he cleared the temple, said to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this, to clear the temple like this? And then Jesus answered, he says, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Jesus was speaking here about his resurrection. He knew that he was going to die, and 3 days later he was going to rise from the dead. He shows his omniscience. And then in John 3:14, Jesus responds to Nicodemus, as many of you know the story. And he says in verse 14, he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus was revealing that he knew he would be lifted up on the cross, and those who would look to him would live spiritually and eternally. And I'll give you one more. In John 4, Jesus meets a woman at a well. In verse 16, he tells her, go call your husband and come back. And then she replies, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right. You have no husband. You have no husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands, and the man that you're now with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Jesus displays his omniscience here in his conversation with this lady because he knows her personal life. He knows what's going on in her life. And then finally in our passage, as you look here, Jesus is just showing his omniscience all the more when Peter responds, you know I love you, Lord. You know my heart. Says it again. You know I love you, Lord, in verse 16. And then here's the kicker. In verse 17, he says, Lord, You know everything. You know that I love you. He outright acknowledges Jesus's omniscience when he says, you know all things. You know all things. You know my heart. You know that I failed you, but you know despite that, I love you, Jesus. And if that wasn't enough for Peter, he says this in 18 and 19. He looks into the future. Jesus sees and knows the future. He looks into the future and he says this in 18 and 19. He says, very truly, I tell you, Peter, that when you were younger, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Jesus knew how Peter was going to die in the future. You see, church, Jesus knows everything. Jesus knew Peter's heart. He knew that even though Peter failed him and would fail him, that Peter still loved him. Jesus knew Peter's future. He knew when and how Peter would die. Tradition says he died upside down because he didn't feel worthy enough to be crucified right side up. Jesus knows everything. Jesus is omniscient. And church, hear the good news today that Jesus knows everything about each one of us. Jesus knows everything about us collectively as a church family, and he knows everything about you individually. We do not stand or sit in here not known. Jesus knows everything about us. He knows the exact number of hairs on our heads. He is intimately acquainted with all our ways, our coming and our going. He knows the stressful situations that you are facing today. He knows those things. He knows the outcome of those situations. He knows your needs. And he also knows how he's going to meet those needs. You see, church, we can rest because Jesus is omniscient. Jesus is all-knowing. We can marvel that he knows all things. And as our Savior, we can rest in him. Not only does he know us, church family, but he also loves us. He loves us. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 2 said this, "The life that I now live in the flesh, I live for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Jesus loved me and you so much that he willingly stretched out his hands on a Roman cross and was crucified so that we can be forgiven of our sin. The sin that separates us from him or from us or from the Heavenly Father. Jesus willingly gave his life. He loved us so much that he gave us his life. He laid down his life. He died in our place and he died for our sin so we can be reconciled spiritually to the Father. And hear these words. Jesus not only knows you, but he loves you. And if you have not confessed your sin and surrendered your life to his lordship, I want to invite you today to do that. Today is the day of salvation according to the scriptures. Today is the day to be reconciled to God the Father through Jesus Christ. And you, church, we can be reconciled to the Father. Jesus is omniscient. But Jesus is not just omniscient because there's more happening in this story than just Jesus' omniscience. Jesus is also a restorer. Jesus is a restorer. Now, a restorer is someone who brings back or reestablishes a previous right or situation. A restorer is someone who brings back or reestablishes a previous right or situation. Jesus tells Peter in verse 15, he says, "Feed my lambs." Then again, He says in verse 16, take care of my sheep. And then finally in verse 17, he says, feed my sheep. And then finally, he says, follow me. What's going on here? Jesus is restoring Peter. You see, a lot of commentators believe that Peter kind of just said, well, Jesus isn't around like he used to be around. I've already denied him. I'm going to kind of go back to my old way of life. And now here Jesus comes into the picture and he's saying to Peter, no, Peter, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. See, what Jesus was doing here is he was using a metaphorical analogy to say to Peter, shepherd my flock, Peter. I know that you denied me, but now I'm restoring you as leader of these men and as an apostle. You see, Jesus is a restorer. Jesus has the power to restore. There are many lives in Scripture, and there are many lives in here that Jesus has not only redeemed and ransomed, but he's restored. And when I think about the mercy of Jesus and the restoration that he does in our life, I can't help but to think about an old broken down house. There's a picture of a house right here. It's a 1920s bungalow. This is the front. This is the back. You know, there are times in our life where we just make a mess of our life, or like maybe many of us before we came to Jesus, we were just a hot mess. We were a broken down house. But then Jesus came into the picture. Jesus comes into our brokenness. And when we give our lives to him over time, Jesus, the master architect, he restores our life. Here's a picture of this house now. That's the front. This is the back. It's a picture of restoration. When we come to Jesus, when we bring our mess to Jesus, Jesus takes our mess where we're at and he helps us to become more like him over time. Doesn't mean that all of our problems are going to be fixed right there that instant. But there are a lot of people who were changed. Read through the gospel stories. Many were changed. Peter was changed. Here Peter had blown it, and now Jesus is restoring his life. I'm not sure where many of us are today. Maybe there's a few in here today. One who you are just a hot mess and you need Jesus to help you. And I want you to know that he's a restorer. Or maybe you're a Christian and you made a mess of life. We do that as sheep, right? But Jesus is a restorer. And he's saying to Peter, Peter, shepherd my flock. I'm restoring you. See, Jesus is a restorer and he has the power to change people's life. And one day, church, one day, guess what he'll do when he returns? He will restore all things. The brokenness, maybe many of you even heard of the death of Tim Stewart. He used to frequent in here for years. His dear wife was our admin assistant for a season. He went on, he graduated to be with Jesus. But the grief that now Jen and Josh are experiencing, one day there will be no more death. The sting of death will be taken away. One day there'll be no more wayward children. One day there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more cancer. One day there'll be no more coronavirus. One day there'll be no more fractures in relationships that just destroy families. One day there'll be no more divorce. One day there'll be no more church splits. No, one day there'll be no more church closures. One day there'll be no more prisons. One day he will restore all things. And church, this passage shows us that Jesus is both a restorer and he's also omniscient. So loving Jesus involves understanding who He is. Well, the second thing that it involves obeying His commands or following Him. In our passage, Jesus commands Peter, He says, feed my lambs. And then again in verse 16, He says, take care of my sheep, as I mentioned. And then finally, a third time in verse 17, He said, feed my sheep. And as I mentioned, this is a metaphorical analogy to say, shepherd or lead my people, Peter. And finally, and He says, Peter, follow me. Follow me. Four commands here. Feed, take care of, feed, follow. Four commands that we see here. Now, follow me was a command from the beginning of the book. You see this in John chapter 1. It says here, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, He said to Philip, follow me. So you see this early on in John's writing. And then when you get to chapter 12, you see it again. Jesus says this, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And then here in our passage, you see Jesus saying to Peter, follow me, Peter, follow me. Now, when Jesus told His disciples to follow Him in the beginning, He asked them to leave their ordinary lives and follow Him full time. This is what a student did back then. This is what an apprentice did, a learner did, a disciple did, a follower did. They took up residency and they learned from the master. And this is what we do as followers of Jesus. This is what Jesus was saying to Peter, I need you to follow. You quit following me. Let me give you a visual. Bailey, come here for a second. This is my daughter, Bailey. Now, Bailey, I just want you to follow me. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. All right? All these people are smiling. I just want you to follow me, okay? All right? Follow me. Come. Follow me, Bailey. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Three different times in John, He emphasizes, follow me. Follow me. Where I go, I want you to go. Where I'm leading you, I'm going. I'm actually in front of you. Follow me. Follow me. Don't look to the left. I know it's scary right there. Don't look. Don't worry how things are going to be provided for. You don't worry about that. You just follow me. Don't worry about where you're going to go next or what's going to happen next. You just follow me. Don't worry about what people are going to say about you. You just follow me. You did a great job following me. Y'all give her a hand. What? It's Jesus is saying to Peter, follow me. Follow me. And loving Jesus involves not just understanding who He is, but it involves following Him. Peter, at some point, probably quit following Jesus. I know he did when he denied Him. But now, perhaps in his vocation, he went the other way. And Jesus is saying, follow me. And so when we say yes to Jesus, we say yes to His way of life. We leave our old way of life and we follow Him. And this is what we teach to ourselves and this is what we teach to others that we're helping know Jesus. If you're going to be His disciple, we teach this to others. We're not teaching an easy believism. You know, I feel like that was popular for a long time where people just kind of get fire insurance, right? When Jesus says, follow me, it's every area of our life. We're not the leader no more. Jesus is the leader. And so loving Jesus for Peter meant that he had to fess up to his denial and lead his people. And so let me ask us a question. What might it be for us How might Jesus' words, "follow me," apply to our vocation? Is it our vocation? Peter had his mind on fishing. And you remember Matthew 4:19. "Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." I want to give you a new vocation. You know, what if Jesus is calling someone or somebody in here to consider a new vocation? Will you follow? What about parenting? We all know what it's like as followers of Jesus to parent in the flesh, right? To parent in anger, to discipline in anger. That's not Jesus' way. What about in our singleness? I got married later on. It took me a while. A lot of reasons for that. But I had to trust the Lord with my singleness. I had to follow Him and make the most out of it. And it was tough to trust Him. What about with our recreation? Do we put our recreation over following Jesus? Is sports and entertainment and all this stuff that we do, is it above Jesus? What about our living situation? Does Jesus still call people to go to hard places and live in hard parts of the city to be a witness to Him? Does he do that? I mean, He does that with foreign missionaries. He calls them to overseas places where they are uncomfortable and have to learn the language and things like that. They have to culturally get acquainted. But does He call us to do something different, maybe? Or buy the biggest, best house, to live the most comfortable life? I'm talking to myself here, so. But Jesus says, "Follow me." Will we follow Him in our recreation, in our living, in our serving in the church? But Jesus says, "Follow me and serve in the children's ministry." Serving in the children's ministry, unless you really love children, it can be difficult. But He says, "Follow me." Follow me. What about handling our finances? Does He say, just follow me in other areas of your life, but with the finances, you got that one. You follow yourself. No. Every area of our life, Jesus is saying, follow me. He said it to Peter. The disciples left everything and followed Him. And so what might He be saying to us? How might these words, follow me, apply to us today? You know, if you're not a Christian in here today, today Jesus is saying, now's the time. Follow me. Maybe the Lord is working in your heart this morning. Now is the time. In conclusion, in Luke 11:27, there's this scene where Jesus is teaching and this, you know, some cool things are happening. And well, Jesus was kind of being attacked a bit, but He was ministering in power because of who He was. And there's this woman, she calls out to Jesus. She says these words. She says, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. But then Jesus radically said these words in reply that I feel like sum up our passage for today. He said, "No, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And you see, church, loving Jesus involves understanding and obeying Him. What will we do? Be comforted, dear friends. If you're suffering, Jesus knows. Be comforted, dear friends. because Jesus is a restorer. And take heed, dear friends, to follow Jesus. Where else shall we go? What else is there for us to do? This world is not our home.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.